What's going on, guys? Back for another episode. This is Chris Mead with My Biggest Lessons. I got a new friend here today, Dan Dembski. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've heard a lot of good things. So you're the CEO of Unbound Marino. Talk me through it for our listeners, right? Maybe they're not familiar with the brand. What is Unbound?
Well, we're an apparel company that helps people pack light when they travel. So the whole premise behind our clothing is it's antibacterial and odor resistant, and it's versatile enough that you can dress it up or dress it down when you travel. And because of those properties of the clothing, you never need to go anywhere without a carry-on, or anything more than a carry-on, rather.
My fiance needs
it. So we're a travel brand. Just the very nature of our entire company was a in the pandemic.
Okay.
But travel's booming again, and luggage is a huge problem. Luggage is getting lost all over. So a lot of people are using our clothing as a way to not have to check their luggage and deal with the risk of losing it.
I love it. So how did it start with COVID then? What kind of inspired the brand?
It started before COVID. Okay. It was going really well until COVID, and we sort of had a little bit of a slap, a little backhand to the face.
Oh, yeah.
Had a different business prior to this, and we built that up a little bit, but it was a video production agency. And I loved building it, but there got to a point when I really lost the zest for it. I lost the passion to do it. It kind of felt like I'd put in like X amount of effort, and the results of that would be Y, but it was always equal. If I took the foot off the gas a little bit, cash flow issues would come up. It was just the service business just felt like a grind where I didn't see how to scale it in a meaningful way. And I knew I wanted to create a product. And I just ideated on that for years, literally years. I would sit every single week with my two best buds, who are my co-founders, and think, let's come up with a product idea. The only criteria is we need to sell it entirely online, and we want to have customers instead of clients, because clients are worth too much to us. And we always had to bend over backwards for them. And, you know, if they were having a bad day, it's like it would make us have a bad week. And so we just brainstormed ideas. And it wasn't until I felt like I wanted this brand to exist for myself, where I had that aha moment, and we decided to create it.
I love it. And it's for the listeners, right? Like, are you wearing the brand right now? It looks on the website, it looks like the comfiest clothes I've ever seen.
It's really comfortable. It's really high performance, but it's what we make is something that's really simple and versatile. It's designed. We're like not even a fashion brand. We look at it, our clothing, more as like a tool to help you live and travel more simply, more so than it is like a cool shirt that we're not like the Supreme or the Balenciaga, where you want to like people buy our stuff. Even though our stuff is rather expensive, it's expensive because of the performance and because of the material, not because you're going to be able to show people you're wearing something cool. So it's about the utility.
It makes sense. I sell four-way volleyball net for a living, right? So the idea of selling clothing on the internet is fascinating, because it feels like it's a rat race to see who could establish the most premium brand. And a brand that is worth somebody forking over, let's call it $100 for a t-shirt or $50 for a t-shirt. How do you think about that when it comes to positioning? Pretend I'm a 25-year-old kid. I just graduated college. I want to start a clothing business, as thousands of people do every day. How do you make people care about your shirt compared to the next one?
That's a great question. And it wasn't until after we launched the brand and it got to a point where it was successful, where we started to realize that, what were we thinking even getting into the clothing business? Yeah. Like, it, by all measures, it should be a dumb idea, but it worked for us. And I think our ignorance and how naive we were is what led us into thinking that this would be a good idea. And it worked out. It wasn't like we wanted to create a clothing brand and we looked at what's out there and said, how can we carve a unique niche for ourselves? I've told you a little bit about the story of I was wanting this brand to exist for myself. Well, the whole backstory on that was I was looking for ways to travel lighter. I was going overseas. I was doing a trip to China and Thailand and Vietnam. And I made a promise to myself that I'm only going to do it with a carry-on. Then I had to figure out how. So I went on Reddit. And I started Googling, how do you travel overseas with just a carry-on? And I read this post where someone said, when I travel, I wear merino wool t-shirts because they're antibacterial and odor resistant. So rather than packing 14 t-shirts, I can pack two or three and I'm good. Even if I sweat bullets through it, as long as you air it out, it's like you could rewear it and it will never smell.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, I got to try this. So I went looking for merino wool t-shirts, and the area in Toronto in which I live was the perfect area for all the right stores, the travel, like the outdoor stores. There's a a store called Mech, which is like in the equivalent of REI would be in the States, Patagonia, all of these stores. And these are the ones that carry merino wool. So I had a hard time finding a merino wool shirt I liked. The first one I saw had a print of like, it was made for people who go camping, portaging. They have a canoe over their head when they walk through the woods, right? So it had like a timber wolf on it and said, live free. And it was $120. I'm like, I don't want this. I can't, this isn't suit my needs for travel. And then I went to the our version of REI, and the shirts were all these base layers that are designed to wear under your ski jacket or snowboard jacket when you're doing outdoor activities and stuff like that. And I bought a couple of these shirts and I loved the material. It performed as promised. But what I didn't love is the way they looked. And I thought, like, if this material is so good and so functional, why am I having such a hard time finding stuff that's simple and stylish, something I could throw a nice pair of pants on and a watch and feel comfortable going out for a cocktail, but also I can go for a hike during the day and it would serve both purposes. I wasn't looking to start the business of this. I was just looking for the clothing. And because I couldn't find it, that was my aha moment. I'm like, I should create it. So it was just like, people are already making this, but they're not making it like this. And I'm like, if I looking for this, other people might have the same use case. Now, I told you I was looking to start a business. I wanted to create a product. I hated my other company. Yep. And I was at the end of my road, at the end of the road. I'm like, I can't do this any longer. I'm like, I never wrote a resume in my life. I'm like, I'm about to write a resume and start looking for jobs. Oh, man. And I'm like, I'm going to give up because like my business was good. It was good. We had 20 employees. I just hated it. I didn't like going into work anymore. So I'm like, this is it. I'm going to start this company and I'm going to put my all into just trying to pitch. This is a good idea. And I'm going to do that as a crowdfunding campaign because it's low risk. And I'm like, I'll put my all into it. If it works, amazing. If it doesn't, the very worst, I'll have a few boxes of prototypes of the shirt I wanted to have anyway. So it's like win-win. I'll scratch my itch, see if it works. But the whole point I'm trying to make here is I didn't think I want to be the next brand in clothing. I identified a problem that was real to me. So if that problem was like a lip balm, there's no lip balm that exists in the way that I wanted. I want it to be taste like this or something. Like if there's something that you realize you want and you can't find a good option, sometimes that's the sign that you should do it for yourself. So it was all just that time and peace.
So true. Makes a lot of sense. It takes me back to my early days with CrossNet, sitting on the beach with my girlfriend, bored as hell. The wind's blowing, so I can't play Frisbee. And I don't want to tan anymore, right? So like having a fun game at the beach was exactly the problem and led to a business. So that's such a good mind. Like that makes a lot of sense. So
you wanted, it's exact same thing in a completely different world. Like you wanted this, like something in your head made it click that you wanted it for yourself probably, right?
Exactly. 100%. Got to be a little selfish to get what you want. But no, I like
that. And then you're like, but that's the truth. Like if you want it for yourself and it's not there. Sometimes people try to say like they want to create a business because they want to make money. Right? That's not enough. Yeah. Like you have to actually create something that the market needs. Like you always say, you have to solve a problem, right? Yeah. It could be an entertaining thing, like what you created. It could be a functional thing, like I'm creating like a tool for travel. But like, I felt it. I'm like, here's the reality. If Unbound Merino existed when I was looking for it, I would just be a happy customer. I wouldn't even think this. I would never get into the, I had no business getting in the clothing business.
What's the education like on the term merino, right? Like I buy stupid $70 shirts for no reason, right? Because they look nice. Is merino, is that like a common thing to people that they understand that it has this property? Because I didn't know that till we started talking.
No. And that's the interesting thing. That was another one of the sort of insights in which we started the company. For me, I was like, merino wool. Isn't that like a heavy sweatshirt or like a scarf or something or a beanie? Yeah. Like it felt like it was warm winter wear.
Yeah,
right? Like
burn. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then I realized that merino wool can be a much finer wool that it can actually be like a t-shirt material. Because if you looked at it, you might think it's cotton. It's not. It's a thin, light, breathable t-shirt. Now, if you go to an outdoor store or an active wear kind of place, like a lot of these people know merino wool and they love it. But I wasn't in that world. So I was learning what merino wool was for the first time. So our whole premise of starting this business is let's teach people who don't know about merino wool what it is for the first time. So part of the messaging is like, it's not that itchy scarf or sweater that you're thinking of. This is light, breathable. You can wear this in the hottest of climates. In fact, it's a better performing t-shirt than cotton in extreme heat. So that's who we go after. We try to introduce people for the first time that merino wool exists as a high performance material for hot weather and cold weather.
I love it. I'm sure the ad, I got to see the ads. They must go off.
If you go on our website, our ads will never leave you.
That's always good.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I'm sitting here thinking as a business owner, right? You said you wanted to buy two shirts and have two shirts last year. Let's call it 2 months, this 2 month mm-hmm. trip. Are mm-hmm. you seeing that your customers are actually coming back with the LTV, or are they coming to your site just buying their two shirts and they're good forever?
So here's the thing, is we decided that we're going to focus all of our marketing on the travel niche because it's a really good way to communicate the value proposition of what we're selling. But our customers are smart enough to realize that, like, once you realize you don't need a lot of stuff when you travel, you could start to think, I don't need a lot of stuff at all in life. Like, having too much clothing is even at home, it's like, where do you stuff it all into your dresser and your closet and all that stuff? So, you know, a lot of people, they buy our stuff to have, like, just, they want to have 10 t-shirts at home, and that's all that they have. And some people, they're super minimalist and they want to have only a black t-shirt, but it's still a consumable good. And they come back. There's one customer of ours, he has three houses and he orders 10 t-shirts per house every year and a half. You know, if it's about a year and a half and I haven't seen an order from him, I think, oh, does he not like us anymore? But surely enough, it always comes in. Yeah, I think it's just once you get the bite, once you realize that the way it performs, how simple it is, how comfortable it is, how it feels, you kind of start to look at the rest of your shirts like, I don't know if I want these anymore. And you start to replace them all. But yeah, then different colors if you feel like it and stuff like that. So our returning customer rate is extraordinarily high. The lifetime value is really high. People love our stuff. So
good. No, I love it. I'm going to definitely check it out after the show. What about, you said something really interesting to me where you were working on this for the video production company, right? For a long time. And you're kind of sick of it. Did a lot of those skills carry over to help you with this company or no?
It's a completely different world, but I think the skills, I mean, I guess the ingrained skills or the behaviors to be an entrepreneur carry over, grit, hard work. But if anything, the mistakes I made in my other business are the ones that were most instructive of how I would run this business. But again, we're talking about a service business. I used to go in and pitch and cross my fingers and hope that they'd sign a contract and write a big check for 30 to 50% and that would fuel us for a few months kind of thing. And now it's a completely different world. Like, customers coming in all day and all night.
You've got to check out Gorgeous. I hate paying for things, but I spend way too much time on free customer support apps. Gorgeous allows us to talk to our customers within seconds, update them on product information, answer any questions they have, and it's all done in a very nice and easy to use tool. Oh, do you have a question for your billing department? Send them a quick message and tag them into the conversation. Gorgeous has turned our customer support into an absolute profit center and has generated over $3 million in revenue in just the past 18 months. We are forever thankful.
So it's a different machine. The sales machine used to be me doing a song and dance. Okay. And now it's a marketing engine. And I always look at the marketing as there's like the machine itself. How low can you make the cost to acquire a new customer and high the lifetime value of those customers and tweaking your ads and experimenting and A/B testing and all that. And I think that's the purest and best form of marketing because it's the most scalable and the one you have the most control over.
Exactly.
But then there's the other side of marketing, which is like the sheer creativity, the opportunistic guerrilla marketing stuff where you can write a Reddit post that gets like voted up to the front page and you get this burst of sales, or you pitch a new product to this one magazine and then a bunch of people write about you and then you see this massive influx of traffic. So I think both matter. But yeah, that's the way we sell now. It's like started from scratch. Yeah.
What about those you kind of mentioned? I'm curious. What's some things, dude, just in the last 12 months alone, the amount of mistakes I've made, like I can't wait till I'm 40 years old and I'm like, dude, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Like, what's some things that carried over?
When we started, I'm actually at my mom's place right now. We started my first business in my mom's basement right here. And it was a video production agency. We're really good at it. We started to get a bunch of like these small business clients. And then we got so busy that we needed to hire people and they start showing up at my mom's house. And all of a sudden we started having four people, five people working in my mom's basement. And then our clients started to grow into these larger and larger brands. We're like, we can't bring them to my mom's basement anymore. So we've got this downtown studio and we started growing. And I remember in our first year, we did $60,000 in revenue. And we thought like, whoa, like how 60, that who paid us, like we couldn't believe how much money that was, right? And then in the second year, we did $600,000 in revenue. And then in the third year, we did 1.2 million. So we were young, we were in our early 20s. Yep. And we thought we were invincible. I'm the same age as Mark Zuckerberg, and Facebook was just coming up. And I looked at him like, yeah, I'm just like that, you know, like we're going to take over this world, right? So when you get cocky like that, you start to think, so I'm thinking, okay, we 1,000% revenue from year one to two, and then double revenue in the year after. I'm like, well, we're just, what are we gonna do next year? 2.5 million? Like, well, the sky's the limit, right? So we moved from this little downtown studio that we sort of tucked away and like lived in at first until we had this like massive office downtown, like overlooking the whole like downtown core on the top floor and 20 employees. And like then all of a sudden you have all these mouths to feed and all this overhead. And what we were prepared for was what the sales didn't double that year. They kind of stayed the same. And then it was like, if I don't get in a boardroom and be the dancing monkey and try to get them to sign the contracts,
yeah,
what's going to happen in 6 months? So I remember the feeling. I told you how excited we were for $60,000 in revenue in that first year. I remember the first time we got a check for $10,000, and me and my business partner played it so cool as we walked back to the car. And when we closed the door, like high five, like, I can't believe how much money this is. And then fast forward a few years later, we'd get a check for like 150 grand. And I'm just like, I'm tired. This is going to keep the lights on a bit. And what I really learned was we did everything different in the new business. So we do our own fulfillment, and we started in a storage locker. That's where we ship from. We didn't have anything fancy. We started in a storage locker, like a self-storage kind of place. And then when we were bursting out of the seams in this tiny, tiny storage locker, we moved to a bigger storage locker, one size bigger, and then the biggest. And then we were bursting at the seams. We had two storage lockers. And then when we actually needed to build our own warehouse, it was so easy for us to afford. We had such a good grasp on the finances, because I was scared. Because the other business, it was like I was dying. Every month, I'm like, I need to sell hundreds of thousands of dollars just to keep the lights on. And I didn't know how to train salespeople. So I felt like a prisoner in the business. So that's one of many. But, you know, I had a call today where I'm just thinking, we're a bunch of morons. It's always chaos. It's always chaos. But you have to just keep dialing it in and keep dialing it in. And I mean, like you said, how many mistakes did you make in the past 12 months? That's how I feel about today in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Organized chaos. Now, that story resonates so much. And as much as you look back and you're like, damn, what was I thinking? You could listen to a million of these podcasts, and hopefully we help one person from making a similar mistake. But ultimately, like, I think just living it yourself, you just have to go through it. It's the same example with us. After COVID, we shot up from $2 million to $9 million in sales in 1 year. So a team of four
people. Oh, COVID was good to you.
Yeah, COVID was beautiful to me. Shot up from four employees to 23 in a year. And I'm like, all right, we're doing $20 million next year.
Yeah.
We're going from a $2,000 warehouse to a 10,000 square foot, like, beautiful place. And it's like taking on all this overhead just because you feel invincible. And
yes, feeling invincible. I just read this book called The Flywheel. Have you ever read it?
No, I gotta check it out.
Okay. It was the best business book I've read in years. You can read the whole thing in like 45 minutes.
That's great.
It's like a pamphlet, but it's so full of great stuff. I won't get into the whole premise of the flywheel, but there's one point they make in there about, I think they're making this analogy about an enemy ship coming and you're on like a pirate ship. And it's a cheesy analogy, but they're like, if you have a certain amount of gunpowder and you want to make sure that enemy ship doesn't come to you, what you might want to do, instead of blowing a cannonball with all of the gunpowder, you want to just take a couple like small shots with like a gun, just a little bit of gunpowder at a time to align how this thing's shooting with the wind and get the shot right. And then when you have the shot, put a bunch of gunpowder in and do the cannonball. And they're like, that analogy translates into business when you're building. And this is what we try to do now. Rather than take these big bets, we try to like take like little small, low risk, like stabs at something and see if it works. And if you get an inkling that I think this thing might be working, just take a few more shots. And if you really, really get a sense that this thing is like working and you know that you can handle it, then you put all your money in. But like, that's the way we're trying to play now. Like, this is me being different than the way I was in my early 20s. It's like controlled, small, intelligent, little, low risk bets now.
Yep, absolutely.
And just chime it in, just dial it in bit after bit. And when you figure it out, boom, go all in.
And you're able to do that when you have lower overhead, you're making actual profit. and you're not having your back up against the wall every single month of, oh, we need to hit payroll, or, oh, the lights are shutting off in 30 days if we don't do our song and dance in the boardroom, right?
It's so easy to get excited by your growth. If I were you, like, I'd be like so seduced by that growth, thinking like a, like, you know, it's hard not to, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
But like the reality is like, what if your, like your sales grew like a few 100% in like a year?
Yeah.
What if it grows 20% next year? Like you sort of have to like, no, that could be a very real reality. So one of the things that I've learned over the years is I'm not scared to spend a good amount of money on a bet. Like if something costs $10,000 or $20,000 once, and I think this could be enormous, if we could spend that money in that moment, I'm happy to do it. But I'm more afraid to take on something that costs $500 a month, every month. Because anything that is like recurring, I'm very careful about recurring. I'm happier to take bets because it's like, oh, you know, we've just wasted $20,000, but you still got to take risks and have some bets, right?
Yeah.
But overhead bets are the scary ones.
100%.
Because then you're locked in, like this whole machine, your warehouse. I have a nice big warehouse now. And it's just like, we were paying $6,000 a month for this warehouse just like half a year ago. And now we're paying $14,000. Now we could afford it. But it's like, I feel in it.
No, absolutely.
But like,
we're up
like
to $12,000. It sucks. So
yeah, it's like you're feeling it. So that was one where I'm like, that was necessary for our growth. And we sat there and stewed on it. You have to like, those are the ones I dot the I's and cross the T's on if it's recurring.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, speaking of, I got a good book for you. Double Your Profits by Bob Pfeiffer. Another 45-minute read. But even just last night, dude, I found out I was paying $200 a month for Dropbox because I have 6 licenses. But if I switched to the family plan and called them family instead of employees, it's only $20. So yeah. Like, I just chopped like grand off just literally by switching the licenses from workmates to family members.
The word. Yeah. Just got to pat your employees on the back and call them son.
Exactly. Cool, dude. Well, this has been great. I want you to leave our audience with one last tip. Like, you look back or you're starting your next business, what's one thing that you're not going to do?
I think you said something that I agree with sometimes. You just have to get smarter. Like, your intuition is just all the patterns you've recognized in your life just operating so fast that your brain can't even compute. My intuition in business is so much stronger because I've ran full speed right into a brick wall a million times, as I'm sure you have, right?
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, like I told you about my old business and how I built up all that overhead. I didn't get into like how dark it got when things got hard, right?
Sure.
But I remember sitting there, and this is the last little story I'll tell and then I'll let you go. But like at one point, and these deals that were supposed to close didn't, and it was the darkest, scariest time. And I was looking at all my employees thinking, like, I don't even know how we're going to make payroll. And I remember thinking at that time, I'm in my mid-20s at the time, like as hard as this is, and the end of the tunnel is so far away, I have no idea how we're ever going to solve this problem. Like one day I'm going to be 40 years old. By the way, I'm almost there. And I'm going to tell this story. And it's funny because I'm telling it right now. I'm going to tell the story about how I got out of this. And I don't know how, but like obviously this fuck up, this place I'm in right now is not going to matter in 10, 15 years. So why let it, like, why don't you just do what you need to do now and try to figure it out, right? I learned the hard way about how to run a business in that moment. And if I could go back and take, like, would I change that? Like the worst business decisions that led me to that. Yeah. No, like why, who cares? It's like at the end of the day, life is just a video game. Business is just a game and like your profitability is the score. And it's okay if I'm playing a video game and you lose, big deal. It's like, keep going. And I think this is a Winston Churchill quote. He says, like, success is going from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Just do stuff and who cares if you fail?
Exactly. I think the biggest regret is not doing it in the first place.
That's the difference between entrepreneurs and non. My brother is a smart guy, does well, but he's always says, like, one day I'm going to do my own thing. One day I could. And like, no, you're not, because you're 47 and you haven't done it once. Just do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the difference. Just go and do it. And honestly, if I could run a successful business, I think almost anyone can. Because I'm like, I'm not some like Harvard business. I'm literally just some dude. Like sometimes I look at my business around and I'm like, how the fuck did we do this? Anyone can. You just do it.
He's got to go for it. I love it, dude. That's great advice. UnboundMerino.com, right?
That's it.
That's where we get it. That's it. Go pick up a shirt. Go pick up a hoodie. I'm definitely copping one after this episode. I appreciate you coming on. Let's stay in touch, dude. It was a great meeting.
Yeah, it was great to hang. Thanks so much for having me here.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on, bro. Talk soon.
Take care.
So that's another episode of My Biggest Lessons. Each and every week, I'll be having one of my favorite entrepreneurs come on, share their stories, their mistakes, the things they wish they knew. Entrepreneurship's a lonely road, right? You only learn by getting better. You only learn by making mistakes. So I want them to come on and share their stories. If you have somebody in mind that you want on, drop a comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Let's get the best people in the world on here. Thanks for listening.